You have your Bible, turn with us tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. I just want to read the last part of this, and we're going back and we're going to cover some stuff here and just look at it with the help of the Lord as He can help us to help each other in these last days. 2 Samuel chapter 18, we'll begin reading at verse 9. And the Bible said, "And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, 'Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak.' And Joab said unto the man that told him, 'And behold, thou sawest him, why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle.' And the man said unto Joab, 'Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not have put forth mine hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai, saying, Beware that thou touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And the 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, but for Joab held back the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood, and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled every one to his tent. Now Absalom, his lifetime, had taken and reared up to himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Then Amaziah, the son of Zadok, let me run now and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, he said, Go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Amaziah, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, Run then. Amaziah ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David set between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate into the hall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter, said, Behold, another man running alone. The king said, He also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, He is a good man and coming with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, All is well. He fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I know not what it was. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee be to do thee harm, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. I want to preach to you a question tonight that David asked. He said, is the young man Absalom safe? Is the young man Absalom safe? As we look around tonight and we see that everything is out of control. Things is falling apart even as we speak. It seems like there's just conflict and controversy all over the place. And we know that as we see this happening, as we see things get out of control, we're seeing gangs arising up all over the place, and they're coming in. They used to just be in the big cities. Now we're starting to see gangs forming even in a little place called Asheville, North Carolina. Amen. Things is beginning to get out of hand, and there's a wanton disregard for property and for people today. Just a disregard in every essence of people's lives, even for human life. Amen. It's just the day and time we're in. But we got to look at this, and we got to ask ourselves, when and where did this thing get out of the banks? See, this thing's just a flood that's hitting us like crazy. But I want to say, it didn't start out as a flood. It started out somewhere as a little old rivulet. Amen? Kind of like Mount Hermon, as them snow caps melt on that mountain in the springtime, and they begin to run down to form the Jordan and the Damascus and all those rivers below. That's what's happened in America. It started out as little rivulets. And they got bigger and bigger, praise God. And we didn't notice it, and we don't notice it till a flood breaks out. That's what happened. These things just keep going, and we just kind of push them aside. We just kind of ignore them till a flood breaks out, starts washing us away. Amen? It can get the neighbors, and it can get the folks down the road and those that live down the valley. But praise God, we won't really pay a whole lot of attention till it starts washing our stuff away. Amen. So how can this thing get so bad? We see the story here, and it deals with a relationship between a son and a father. Amen. We see the relationship. We see Absalom rose up, and it was from one of David's wives, and he comes up, and he has a brother. The Bible says he has a brother named Tamar, and David has and he has a half brother. He has a sister named Tamar, and he has a half-brother named Ammon. You remember the story? And Ammon, in chapter 13, he had a desire to have his sister. He fell in love with her. He was lovesick. Amen? Until he had got her. And then the love that he had for her, the hate that he had for her after he had her, it was even stronger than the love he had for her. Amen? You know the story? And when Tamar told her brother Absalom, Absalom was irate, he was mad. And he told Tamar, he said, hey, listen, he said, you just stay here at the house, you stay here with me. He said, just don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. And the Bible says that David was upset when he heard about the thing. Amen? But what did he do about it? See, a lot of times we get upset when we hear about things, but what do we do about it? But the Bible says it get rocked on for about 2 years. Absalom told Tamar, he said, you don't worry about this. He said, I'll take care of it. And then Absalom goes to David. He said, hey, we're going to get together some of the fellas. He said, it's a sheep herd. So he said, we need to, I'd like to know if you'd let Abnon go down with us. He said, well, I don't really know. He said, yes, and let them go down. So they go down there, and Absalom's got it set up. Now 2 years to get revenge. See how this thing begins to build? For over 2 years, that revenge was a stirring. That bitterness, that hatred was there. And it was building and building and building. Till one day he found an opportunity to release it. So you know the story. Ammon was down there, and when he had drunken well, they fell upon him. The ones that Absalom had designated to take him out. The hit men. And the Bible says that they take him out, that they kill Amnon. When they kill Ammon, then Absalom has to flee. And the Bible says that he flew to Gershur, and he stayed there in Gershur. And it displeased his father. He was all upset. Oh, you can read it in chapter 13, chapter 14, on over through here. Do we get to a place in chapter 14? Absalom, he's done stayed over there in Gershur for 3 years. For 3 years, he's been separated and alienated. The fellowship with his father had been broken. The family tie had been severed. And finally, the old soldier Joab, he goes in, he tells David, he said, you know what? He said, this thing that you got going on with Absalom, he said, it just ain't right. And in chapter 14, in verse 21, the king said unto Joab, behold now, I have done this thing. Go therefore and bring the young man Absalom again. So he tells Joab, said, okay, he said, yes, I've done this thing. I should have done it. He said, go and get it. Go over there and get him and bring him home. Then Joab fell on the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, today thy servant knoweth that I have found grace in the sight of my Lord, O king, in that the king hath fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Gershur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. But now listen to what it says. And the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face. So what we have here is a half-hearted forgiveness. Amen? I'm afraid if we ain't careful, a lot of times we have a half-hearted forgiveness. Amen? We don't totally forgive because we can forget. I know we can't forget things. Us Baptists is kind of like elephants. Amen. Once we get something in our head, amen, it's always there. Amen. The Lord, He cast that into free glory to God. He cast all of our cares, all our sins in the sea of forgiveness, not to be remembered no more. He can choose not to remember them, praise God, and He don't. Men, you don't have that ability. Amen. When we get something on our hearts, our minds, praise God, it stays with us. And it stayed with Him for 2 years. A half-hearted forgiveness. Amen? But then the Bible says that in verse 28 of chapter 14, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. For 2 full years, Absalom stayed there and never saw his father. Was right there in the kingdom, seeing everything that was happening, seeing the parades pass by, seeing his father on his great steed passing by in his royal attire, but couldn't speak to his father. Amen? Sounds like a messed up situation, doesn't it? But I want to say, praise God, we've got them all over this land. Amen? So well, we have to ask ourselves, is the young man Absalom safe? I want to say, no, he's not. He's not safe tonight, praise God, because of the hard-heartedness of the people. Amen? Because of their hard-heartedness. So he goes to him after 2 years, amen, he goes over there and he says, okay, and now watch what he says in verse 33. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Amen. So we have this thing. We have the king. Finally, he's coerced into having him come out, and he just said, and he finally sees him, and Absalom kisses his father, and the king kisses Absalom. But I want to say, praise God, sometimes it's too little, too late. It makes you wonder what was on his mind. Oh, well, you know, you say, well, preacher, he was the king. Maybe he was too busy. You know, being a king is a lot of responsibility. I want to say, if we ain't very careful, we get too busy to be children of God. Amen? We get too busy to do the right thing. But I want to say, we should never be too busy to do what's right. Amen? So maybe it's too busy. Maybe he was too proud. Huh? Maybe he was too proud to express that love to Absalom. That love that he so desperately needed. That reinsurance, that reinstatement, praise God, that he needed from his father. Amen? If we ain't real careful, praise God, pride will rise up and it'll keep us from doing what's right. Amen? But it may not have been that he's too busy. It may not have been that he was too proudful. It may have been that he was just too unconcerned. Amen? May have just been that, you know what, he was like a whole lot of us, you know, we'll just ignore it and maybe it'll go away. Huh? That's our philosophy a lot of times. I'll just ignore it and maybe I'll just pretend like it's not there. I'll just pretend like this situation doesn't exist and maybe it'll go away. Hey, that's wishful thinking. Amen. It'd be nice if it did. Sometimes it does. Amen. Sometimes things have a way of working themselves out with the help of the Lord. Amen. But sometimes they don't. But maybe it was a little bit of unconcern. But the Bible says that the result that we see and we read in your hearing tonight was a revolt that took place. Absalom rose up. Amen. And he rose up against his father. Maybe it was because he was too busy. He wanted to get his attention. Maybe it was because of pride. Maybe he wanted him to show him his love, and he didn't. Maybe it was just unconcern. And I want to say, praise God, sometimes, praise God, when people think we're not concerned about, then we can't help them. But when we love them, we'll be concerned for them. Amen? The reason that the young man Absalom's not saved, praise God, is he didn't have the things that he needed. Amen? So he broke into revolt against his own father. And when we see it taking place, and the Bible tells us that in the course of the battle, Absalom loses his life. Absalom dies. Now what the amazing thing is, the first thing that transpires here when Absalom dies is the world comes along and says, you know what, it'll probably, hey, I don't know, they was a big hop-loo about it, but I don't know, I think everything's okay. Ain't that the first thing the world will say? Hey, just let it go by. When Ahimaaz came to him, and the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz, he answered in verse chapter 18, verse 29, answered king, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult. He said, there was a whole lot of stirring going on. But I know not what it was. Amen? He said, hey, listen. He said, there was a big stirring over there. He said, but I really can't tell you what happened. Ain't that about the way the world does? The world brings you some say, hey, you know, this thing kind of stirred up. He said, but don't worry about it. It'll probably be all right. But I want to say, hey, praise God, those little rivulets is getting bigger and bigger, praise God, to their overflowing flood. And guess what? We realize it's not all right. Amen. They're overflowing us in the land that we live. Amen. Is a young man Absalom safe? No, he's not. He's in bad trouble. Praise God. Amen. What he was saying, he said, it sounds bad over there, but he said, I think it'd be okay. Well, praise God, it won't be okay without the Lord. Amen. So we see David's question. We have to ask it. He asked it again. Is the young man Absalom saved? Amen. It's a day late and a dollar short, the old saying used to be. And the Bible tells us over here in 1 Kings chapter 1 that David had this arrangement with his children, but he never did do anything to displease them. Now listen to this. In 1 Kings chapter 1, and the Bible says, Adonijah, the son of Haggai, exalted himself, saying, I will be king and prepare me in chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run after him. Now, this is already after the adventure with Absalom. But the Bible says in verse 6 of 1 Kings chapter 1, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Amen? He said he never did ask him. He said, why are you doing this? You know, a lot of times we never stop to ask our people, why are you doing it? Is the young man Absalom saved? I don't know. We ought to stop and ask him. Amen? Is he saved? Is he doing things? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going down the road that you're going? You know, it's easy to beat them down and push them down and step on them while they're down. But praise God, why don't we stop sometime and just say, listen, why are you doing what you're doing? Have you ever thought that, well, I got a hold of this the other night and I thought, you know, have you ever thought that maybe they haven't even thought about why they're doing what they're doing? But when we stop, and we begin to open a line of communication, and we begin to talk to them, we begin to ask these questions. Why are you doing what you're doing? What do you hope to gain out of it? How do you hope to get a benefit from what you're doing? See what I'm saying? And then at least they'll stop and think, you know, how is this going to benefit me? He said that he never did displease them and ask them, why are you doing it? You know what he's doing? The Bible said he never did hold them accountable. You know what's wrong with America today? But there's nobody accountable. We just run flippantly through this world doing what we want to do and with no accountability. Amen? And you gotta get to people. We gotta ask, why are you doing this? And you hope they'll answer you. Amen. See what's wrong? If you can't get a line of communication with, you can't help them. Amen. But when you figure out the reason why they're doing things, then you can begin to line up with them and begin to give them that help. Praise God from the Word of God. Say, well, this is what God says. This is the way God says you can handle this situation. It may not be an overnight cure, but praise God, God has the cure. Amen. He never asked them. He never did. So where does the church find, what's the church's responsibility? See, we ask again, is the young man Absalom safe? Amen. Listen, as I state this tonight and I'm looking back through here and I see several young people that's getting ready to go back to school in just a few days. They say, preacher, don't talk about that. It makes my head hurt. Amen. Don't want to think about it. Amen. But in just a few days, you've got young people going to go back to school. Amen. And I want to ask you a question. Is the young man Absalom safe? Are our children safe? Amen. When we've got people in the schools that want to devour them and destroy them and tear down even to the core of the and the heart of the family. Are our children safe? We better open a line of communication. We better talk among ourselves. Amen. Mamas and daddy, grandmas and grandpas, praise God. Our young men, absent, are not safe. That river, it's a growing. It's a beginning to be a consuming flood. But the church has to step up. The church has to have responsibility. Amen. Is a young man absent safe? Not without real faith. And what is real faith? Amen. We need to ask our children. Now listen to me. We need to ask our children, pray, do you have faith in the Lord? And we need to listen for the answer. Amen. Because what we need, praise God, brother, we need a realized faith. Amen. Not just a flippant faith where we say, yeah, I believe. The Bible said that the demons of hell believe in God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and tremble. But they're not saved. We need a realized faith. Is the young man Absalom saved? Not if he's not saved. He needs to have a realized faith. We need to have a realized faith. If we had a realized faith, it'd keep us out of all the messes we get in. Amen. Like I preached this morning, we'd go to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We need the Lamb. Amen. We need to talk. We need to ask them. Praise God. The church has got to begin to realize. Number one, we got to bring a youth to a redemptive experience. Amen. We got to bring our youth, our young, our families. Amen. Hey, they may not. Hey, listen, you may be 77 years old, praise God, and you've got children that's lost. Amen. They need to be saved. They need to come to a redemptive experience. They need to meet the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved through the precious blood of the Lamb. They need to come to a realization, praise God, that God Almighty saves and He'll keep you and He'll help you and He'll love you in so many ways, praise God, you'll have to like one of them. Amen. We need to bring them to a redemptive experience to get them in, praise God, to where they realize that God is real. Amen. He's not a fairy tale. Amen. That man that hung on the cross of Calvary, Lord Jesus Christ, amen, He was real. Amen. Is that young man Absalom safe? No, because they go to the schools and they say, well, you got to forget about all that mess. It's about evolution here, children. About evolution, how Big Bang created this thing. We need to have them, praise God, with a redemptive experience where they say, no, God Almighty created and Jesus died for it. Amen. That redemptive experience, Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means that love of God in Jesus Christ. It means that we give the teaching of the Word. Amen. We begin to get in this blessed old book and we begin to dig and we begin to look and we begin to feed upon it so we can feed others. Amen. That teaching, the preaching of the Word. Amen. We don't want to, where they grow up and with a redemptive experience, they don't want some old fella to tickle their ears and tell them that their drinking, their boozing, and their whoremonging is all right. We want them to set and stuff, praise God, where they'll get a firm foundation, a realized faith that there's some things that's wrong, praise God, and there's a whole lot of things God says right. Amen. There is a right and a wrong tonight. Praise God, and God tells us how they go. Amen. We need that teaching. We need preaching. We need our people to have a deep concern. Amen. You know what's wrong with us, most of us? We're not concerned. We don't have as much concern. And most of the time when we do finally get a little bit concerned, it's too late. Amen. When David finally got concerned about Absalom, praise God, it was too late. He told him, he said, hey, when you go out there after him, don't kill him. But it was too late, you know. Already signed his own death sentence. Amen. Because of unconcern, praise God. But the Lord God Almighty will help us there. We need to help them come not only to redemptive experience, but we need to help them to see that eternal love that God has for them. Amen. That God has for each one of us, praise God. That redemptive love, that eternal love, amen, that brings salvation to men. Amen. There's no substitute for that. There's nothing the world can give us, praise God, that's a substitute for redemption of old sinful men. Salvation of the Lord, praise God. There's no substitute. But the church has to come to a realization. Church people have to come to a redemptive experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to have that. We must be born again. Amen. Born from above. That's having a love for Jesus Christ. That's recognizing and realizing, amen, the love that God has for us. And He gave His Son, praise God. And we receive the Son. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. Amen. Praise God. And we have it in abundance today. Praise the Lord. Is a young man Absalom safe? No. Not if he's not been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, number two, church must help young people with a clear conviction about their Christian faith. Amen. About their Christian faith. That it's real. And that when it gets real, when our Christian faith, Lala, when your Christian faith gets real and you believe in your heart that Jesus saved you from a devil's hell. Amen. He died to save you. He died to lift you up, praise God, above all the temptations of the world and deliver you, praise God, safe on yonder shore. When we realize that, then that's when our folks are up, then that's when they'll begin to get concerned for others. You see how this thing works? You see how over a couple of generations we let it fall in the cracks? So you got a whole lot of people been coming along when they're not concerned. See, they're not concerned about their self. They're not concerned about their salvation, their soul. So how can they be concerned about anybody else? You see the importance of this? You see, where is a young man Absalom saved? No! Not if he's not been saved. Not if he's not had redemption in his life. Not if he's not got concern for someone else. Amen? We've got to have that redemption. We've got to have concern for others. Amen? I think it's a prerequisite. I don't think you can be saved and not be concerned about others. Amen? That's why when some of our church people's not here, it tears my heart out because I'm just seeing the old devil dragging them off into a pit somewhere. And I know somebody said one time, well, preacher, you ain't got much confidence in your people. I've got all the confidence in the world in my people, but I know the powers of the devil. I know the temptations that's in this world. And I know how subtle that old devil is. He's subtle. He's just waiting for an opportunity to pounce on you and me. He'd like nothing more than to take us down. So we have to teach them not only that redemptive experience, but to have concern for others. Amen? They've got to have that concern for others. And then number three, the church must, if we're going to be able to say that the young man Absalom's safe, the church must be stable in its experience and conviction. You got that? The church must be stable in its experience and its conviction. What do we believe? What do we stand on? Amen? We've got to be stable in that. You have to be stable in that lest ye fall. Amen? We have to be stable in our experience. We have to be stable in our convictions. See, morals, hey listen, morals won't help us a whole lot if it's not followed up with convictions. Amen? We got to have good, strong morals, but we also have to have convictions. We have to have that in order to stand and have strong morals. Amen. There's a whole lot of people in the world, you know, say, well, you know, I've got good morals, but they don't have no conviction. It makes us, if you will, wishy-washy. Have to go with the flow. Amen. But when we got this thing nailed down, when we begin to realize, praise God, the stability that God wants us to have in this is the stabilized experience in the Lord Jesus Christ and in our convictions. You say, well, how do we get this? I'm glad you asked. You say, preacher, I didn't really ask, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Amen. You know I would. Amen. You know I would. So what do we need? How do we have this? It's through power of shared fellowship. Amen. That's how we get the experience and the stabilization, praise God, inner conviction is a shared fellowship. When we come in this thing together, praise God. I like what Brother Jeff said when he looked across the room and he sees brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Hey, listen, in case you didn't know it, and the devil may be trying to tell you different, but we're all on the same team. Amen. It's time to pull together, praise God, and shout the praises to glory. Amen. We're all on the same team. We can't fight one another. Praise God, it takes too much energy we'll be using to fight the devil. Amen. Praise the Lord. That shared fellowship. So if we see that fellowship in the Christian family, amen, we need fellowship in the family. Now listen to me. Everybody look at Pastor Jeff right now for a minute. When it comes, when you get home, when you get to your house, amen, you need to take your cell phone. And mama's there, you need to tell them, say, look, it's supper time. Said, you put that thing down somewhere. Mama and dad, you put that thing down, sir, and you sat down at your table. You pray together, praise God. You know the family that prays together stays together. Amen. It's a proven fact. Amen. But you put that stuff down and you have some shared fellowship. We got to have that family fellowship or the family will fall apart. You know what? We're living in such a busy time, so many electronic gadgets, amen, it's pulling us in so many different ways that we don't know which way we're going. Amen. Now I'm just being real. I've got one. Amen. I told my wife, I said, it never fails. I sat down to eat supper and my phone would go off. I said one night, I believe there's a button in my seat in the kitchen, in the dining room. I believe there's a button in that chair when I said, I always sat in the same place. Maybe I need to change chairs. But it never failed. If we eat early or if we eat late, I'd sit down in that chair and I won't know more than my bottom hit that chair. Praise God, my phone would go off. Amen. It's just the way it happens. But you know what we'll do sometime? We'll just hit that button, amen, lay it aside for us, and fellowship with our families. Amen, because when it all said and done, that's all we got besides the Lord. Amen? We need that family fellowship. If we're going to stabilize this thing, if we're going to get this thing back where it needs to be, we need that family fellowship, that Christian family fellowship. Amen? We're all in this thing together for the glory of God. Amen? Praise God. Christian fellowship, family fellowship. Not only do that, we need fellowship of dedicated parents. Amen. Fellowship of dedicated parents. You say, well, preacher, what are we dedicated to? We're dedicated to the Lord. Amen. We say, you know what? I'm going to follow God. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to be led of God. I'm going to think about God. I'm going to walk in God. I'm going to talk in God. I'm going to be led of God. Praise God. I'm just going to go with God. Amen. And you know what? Then you got a mom and a daddy, praise God, that come together and that, and they say, you know what? I'm just going to go with you. Amen. You got to have a dedicated fellowship in the Lord. Amen. And we need parents with a dedicated fellowship for God. Say, no matter what, come hell or high water, praise God, I'm going to go with God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Sink or swim, praise God, I'm going with God. I'm just going to trust in the Lord. You know what? It'll work. Amen. It's that coming together. You know, see what David did? He put that pride up there and he forgot, and it pushed out the love. What we do, we get rid of the pride, praise God, and we can have the love. Amen. So we need that Christian family fellowship. We need dedicated parent fellowship. But we need a fellowship. Now listen to this. We need a fellowship of a joyful people. Amen. Amen. We need a fellowship of people just rejoicing in the Lord. He said, Paul said, and again I say, he said, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice, praise God. Amen. We need a fellowship of folks just praising God, rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. We need that fellowship. Amen. And we ought to come down to the house of God, praise the Lord, and say, you know what? I'm going to go fellowship. I'm going to go rejoice in the Lord. Amen. We need that joy of fellowship. Amen. I told you, praise God. We run around trying to be happy. You know what, let me just say this. When it comes to happiness, people all the time say, well, preacher, I'm just not happy. You know what happiness has to deal with? Everywhere that you find happiness dealt with in the Word of God, it's dealing with a being in God's will. Serving the Lord, reading the Bible, staying in the book. Everything about happiness is about staying with God. And he said, when you do that, praise God, then comes joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. You want to be happy, we got to stay with God. You want joy, amen. Rejoice in the Lord. He said, we need some old-timey Holy Ghost fellowship, some old Holy Ghost rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. David asked a question. He said, is the young man Absalom saved? He asked the question, Brother Jeff, too late. Amen. Hey, listen, it may almost be too late for some of us. But praise God, I want to say God's a great big God. And I want to say tonight, there's nothing impossible with Him. Amen. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. David asked the question. He asked it too late. But then you know what? It was left. He asked the question too late and all. Then all that was left, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh Absalom, my son. He asked the question too late. So then he could just say, oh, Absalom, my son. He said, I would have died for thee. Amen. But you know what Absalom wanted? He didn't want his father to die for him. He wanted his father to live for him. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, people don't want us to die for them. People want us to live for them. They want us to rejoice in the Lord so they can see it and have the hope, praise God, that's in us. They can see it and they can desire it. Ask about that hope that is in you with meekness and fear, praise God. Amen. Say, where in the world did you get that? I'd like to have a dose of that. Amen. But David asked the question too late. Because Absalom, all he wanted All he wanted was a little, I believe all he wanted was a little attention from his father. If he had had a little attention. But did David learn from this? No. Because just a few years down the road, Adonijah would do the same thing. He would rise up the same way against his father. Amen? So what do you say? So preacher, well, what do we need? We need some fellowship in the beloved community. Amen? We need fellowship in the Lord's people. We need fellowship. We need love. We need compassion. We need caring. We need that concern. We need a realized salvation, a realized redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You know what would take care of all of our problems that we have in our church? When men and women, boys and girls, praise God, get an old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction and be born again. Amen. Salvation of the Lord would fix all of our problems. Amen. Hey, listen, we wouldn't have nothing to talk about on Facebook. Amen. And then maybe we could put our face in the book. Amen. We wouldn't have nobody to text and talk about. We wouldn't have to talk. Amen. Praise God. If we was texting, talking, we'd been talking about Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just some old-fashioned community fellowship's what we need. Fellowshipping in the Lord. Praising Him. Is the young man Absalom safe? Not by a long shot. Those rivulets is a-flowing. The rivers is getting bigger. The tide of dissension is everywhere. But praise God, there's a God still on the throne. Amen. Listen, men and women, boys and girls, praise God, it's time for us just get a hold of the horns of the altar. Get on our face before God. Bring our prayers and our petitions, lifting up God, lifting up each other, and saying, God, we believe You can. Amen. Praise God. So that the young man Absalom might be safe. Saved in these last days. Praise the Lord. Amen. You say, well, preacher, is it possible? Ain't it too late? No, ma'am, no, sir. It's never too late with God. Amen. We just have to have faith to believe in Him. It's an old-time, realized, redemptive experience with God. Amen. It makes all the difference in the world. And we can have that tonight. We can have that right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ if we desire it. And then when we look out there and we say, Is the young man Absalom safe? He said, oh yeah. Preacher, he loves the Lord. Amen. Amen. They're following God. Their family's good. They love each other. They spend time in the Word. They love God. And God's a loving on them. Makes all the difference in the world. Can you see how just a few subtle changes in our life and our habits, how it can make a difference? Amen. David maybe was a little too busy. Huh? Just a little bit too, maybe just a little bit too unconcerned. Maybe just a little bit too proud. Say, you know what? I'm sorry, honey. I love you. We ain't been doing this thing right. Amen. Listen. I love you. And if you'll work with me, there's a better way to do this. You see what I'm talking about? I'm talking about creating a line of communication. Amen. Where God can talk to us and God can talk through us. It makes all the difference in the world. So we can see Christ, and so people can see Christ in us and have that hope of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord.